This is Radio Maria, and welcome to Pro Parent with Ciro Candia.
Hello, and welcome to Pro Parent, the program that promotes confident parenting with me, Ciro Candia. My mission? To provide parents with the tools and encouragement to become the best mothers and fathers God is calling them to be, fostering homes where children grow in character and virtue. I don't do this often, but I'm actually going to repeat the joke that I ended last week's show on. And there is a reason for this. So do you remember the joke? At a wedding reception, the photographer yelled, "Would all the married men please stand next to the one person who's made your life worth living?" And the bartender was almost crushed to death. Now, the reason I have started with a repeat of this joke is because I've been reflecting a lot this past week that for some, while it's the bar that has become their God, the thing that they've become most attached to, drink, alcohol, for others, it may be their stomachs, gluttony, could be gambling, addiction, of some kind, video games, and even their work. So their work becoming the thing that has made their life worth living. So these are some of the gods, if you like, that take us away from our marriage and family responsibilities. And this is why this idea of the transcendental third that I talked about last week is so important. By ensuring that Christ is at the heart of our marriage, standing side by side with us, there's less of a chance that we will attach ourselves to these other gods, and more likely that we will attach ourselves to our spouses, our children, and to God Himself. So when we exchange vows at the altar, we encounter Christ, this third in our marriage. And as I mentioned last week, he elevates that natural marriage to a supernatural level. And from that moment, all aspects of our married life, the joy of having children, the intimacy of the sexual embrace, our daily acts of love, all the specifics of family love, they offer a foretaste of the heavenly union that we're going to experience with Christ. But although marriage is a vocation, this call to holiness, which I've mentioned throughout a number of shows, it doesn't mean constant recitation of rosaries or lots of devotional prayers while carrying out our ordinary activities. No, it means having a certain kind of order in our lives, designated times for work, for meals, for family activities, for various chores, but also perhaps for sports, and also our norms of piety. You know, recognizing that while we try to develop this kind of order in our lives, there are going to be days and times when all our best plans go completely to pot. And I think these are moments when God teaches us humility so that we can rely on Him a little bit more. And one way to ensure that we live this kind of order in our lives, that you know, when we should be working, we're working. When we should be praying, we're praying. When we should be spending time with our kids, we're spending time with our kids. And one way to ensure that we keep this order is to say aspirations throughout the day, glances at images of Our Lady, all these natural expressions of faith that help us to keep our focus, a bit like putting the small logs and twigs to ensure that the fire keeps burning. This is holiness. And seeking holiness in everyday life doesn't therefore mean praying in our rooms locked away for hours on end when we should be helping with the dishes, annoying everybody in the family as a result. But then it should also mean not working in a chaotic way that results perhaps in neglecting habitually our spiritual practices. So giving in to that kind of activism with our work so that we never have time to do our prayer or some spiritual reading or reading that gospel passage or saying the rosary. And therefore, establishing this kind of order in our lives, seeking holiness in everyday life requires a lot of self-knowledge and also fortitude. And sometimes it means making difficult decisions about our profession if it's no longer compatible with carrying out our family and other duties. And as I say, imposing this kind of order in our lives requires a certain kind of personal toughness. But the most important thing is to have the desire to do so. Then God will look after the rest with his grace and make up for our failings and shortcomings. So if we can just do that 1 or 2%, that desire, as I say, to live this kind of life, then God will make up the rest of the 98 or 99% with his grace. So that's the true meaning of marriage and what we mean by Christ elevating marriage to a sacrament. You know, these ideas and the ones that I discussed in the previous episode. But sadly today, the definition of marriage has really become very fluid. It's whatever two people think it is and the government of the day approves. And this clearly reflects a fundamental misunderstanding of God's design for marriage, this covenantal relationship that I discussed last week. And now I want to talk about four features of marriage. In practical terms, this elevation of marriage to a sacrament means four things. And in his encyclical Humanae Vitae, St. Pope Paul VI talks about four essential properties of marriage: that it's human, it's total, permanent, and fruitful. So I want to take each of these one by one. Firstly, the human. You know, marriage is between human beings who have bodies and souls. You know, our physicality matters, and therefore we must take care of this aspect of our marriage. The Marriage Foundation, body who carries out research on marriage, found that over a third of divorced spouses cite drifting apart as the primary reason for separating. And this drifting apart for me means that these couples didn't sufficiently look after the human nature of their relationship. So this is a reminder for you to show your spouses a lot of affection. You know, we live in a tough world, and in many ways a ruthless world. But the home should be the one place where your spouse feels loved for who they are, and not judged by what they achieve or how they perform or how profitable or efficient they are. All these measures, what the world judges them by. But in our homes, and the relationship with our spouse should be very different. So at a simple level, be kind to your spouse. Kindness, it's in such short supply in this day and age. As one priest said in a 5-second homily, negative humour is from the pits of hell. Keep it there. Sarcasm, putting our spouses down, all of this erodes intimacy. Our spouses need to hear often those words of affirmation. I love you. I'm proud of you. And they also need to experience our daily physical affection. I often remind dads that they need to make sure that the first person they kiss when they go home are their wives. To seek out their wives as soon as they've entered that front door. And it's really good for our children to see us do this, so that they grow up knowing that for dad, mum is the centre of his universe. You know, in our busy world, it's important to remember that quantity time is just as important as quality time. As a former head, lots of people wanted to make the case that, well, I can't be at home so much because of my work, so what I'm going to do is spend quality time with my spouse or with my kids. Well, I'm afraid I don't buy that. You know, we need to spend quantity time as well as quality time. Many spouses and children spell love in this way. T-I-M-E. Time. We need to spend time together as a family. Spend time during those family dinners, conversing, establishing that strong identity, that family culture. We need to spend time together praying, perhaps the rosary each day. There's recreational activities, that leisure time. time perhaps for carrying out some work of mercy in our neighbourhood, in our families, but also we need to make time for our spouse. And to do that, we need to keep that dating mindset going throughout our marriage, regardless of how many years we've been married. Chaps, it's buying your wives those flowers as a sign of affection. It's booking that date night once a week if possible, if not then at least once a month, and if that's not possible because of all the commitments at home, perhaps being creative, imaginative, when the children are in bed, having a romantic meal together. It's spraying that little bit of extra aftershave perfume so that we can also look after all the senses, not just sight and smell, but hearing as well, putting on that music perhaps that we used to listen to during our courtship days. Having that cup of tea at the end of the day when we talk to each other about our day, when we listen without any screens, no television, but just giving each other those 5 minutes at the end of the day, keeping that dating mindset alive and fresh, and creating in our homes, in the relationship with our spouse, an atmosphere where appreciation and respect are a natural part of everyday life, so that instead of scanning the environment for things to criticize about our spouse, we're looking for things to praise, to appreciate, expressing gratitude for those big things, but also for those small things. A simple thank you for picking up the laundry, you know, thank you for doing the dishes, even when it's their turn. And I may have mentioned this in the past, but the most important pillars of civilization are please, thank you, I give you my word, and I'm sorry. Please, thank you, I give you my word, and I'm sorry. And I give you my words is basically making sure that we mean what we say. So we carry out those chores, we don't procrastinate with them, and if there is a reason why we won't be able to carry out something that we said we were going to do, then in advance we say we're sorry and we make other plans. I mean, the most important four words for a successful marriage, someone once said, is I'll do the dishes, even if it's not your turn to do the dishes. Married love is like a fire that needs to be fed each day by throwing on logs and branches, which are the small details of love. And remember, God's grace raises up this affection between spouses without eliminating its human dimension. He transforms it into charity, this supernatural virtue. So he makes this affection between spouses holy. And the second feature mentioned in Humana Vitae is total. Marriage is total. And marriage involves giving ourselves completely to our spouse. And this demands exclusivity because that's the nature of true love. You think of Christ and his one bride, the church. You know, someone once said, when I said I do at the altar, I landed on the shores of a foreign country and I burnt the ships. I'm not going back. Wow. I burnt the ships and I'm not going back. Exclusive, total love. In fact, this is really at the heart of any vocation, to the priesthood, to the religious life, to apostolic celibacy. We burn the ships and we're not going back. So let's remember that true love is first and foremost an act of the will. You know, it's not, at least in its highest form, an emotion or a feeling which ebbs and flows. Love is a decision. Now, the word decision itself derives from the Latin verb decidere, meaning to cut off. It emphasizes choosing one path and letting go of others, saying no to one option in order to say yes to another. This is at the heart again of all vocations. And this kind of choice can be painful, of course, even leading perhaps to feelings of hurt or regret over the paths that you haven't taken. But this is simply part of life. Part of mature love, that we have to make choices, and of course this will involve some sacrifice. So we can decide to love our spouse regardless of how we feel about them. So next week I'm going to talk about the other two features, permanence and indissolubility, and also the fruitfulness of marriage. I leave you with another joke. I'm sorry, these jokes are getting more and more cheesy. But what's the difference between love and marriage? Well, love is blind and marriage is an eye-opener. Well, that's all from me, Ciro Candia, on today's episode of ProParent, the program that promotes confident parenting. Tune in same time next week. Goodbye.
You've been listening to one of Radio Maria's podcasts. If you enjoyed this, please consider supporting us with a once-off or monthly donation. To do so, visit www.radiomariaengland.uk or call 0300 302 1251 during office hours.